You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. In January, Canadian officials trapped and airlifted the last remaining caribou in Idaho's Selkirk Mountain Range into Canada. Last week, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service designated the southern mountain population of woodland caribou as endangered. Officials also designated 47 square miles in Idaho and in Washington as critical habitat that needs protection. That designation came after a lawsuit by environmentalists, including the Center for Biological Diversity. With us today is Rocky Barker, special correspondent to the Idaho Statesman, and Andrea Santasiaeri, a senior attorney with the Center for Biological Diversity. Welcome both of you to the program.
Thank you.
Hi, Gemma.
So, Andrea, I'd like to start with you. Why did your group decide to file this lawsuit in the first place?
Sure. Well, we filed this lawsuit in July because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had recognized as early as 2012 the need to alter the designation of woodland caribou under the Endangered Species Act, but they significantly delayed in doing so. So specifically, the Fish and Wildlife Service had recognized that the Selkirk herd of woodland caribou that used to roam the lands of Idaho, Northeast Washington, and Southern British Columbia actually belong to a larger population of caribou that includes several other herds in British Columbia. And this is important because it means that the Selkirk herd should not be protected as a distinct population in a vacuum, so to speak, but rather should be protected as part of this larger population that expands further into British Columbia. But after proposing the new designation that would expand protections for up to 17 herds in British Columbia, the service stalled in actually finalizing its proposal. So our lawsuit required them to finalize that proposal and expand protection.
And that is what you ended up being able to have happen, correct?
That's correct, yep.
So Rocky, join us into this conversation, because what does that really mean by putting them on the endangered species list?
Almost nothing. Because they're gone. In Idaho, they're gone. They disappeared essentially early this year. But it's a process that's been going on for quite a long time. And it, you know, we really did a lot of good things to try to save them. But it was a very, first we got started late, and when I say we got started late, we're talking about the 1980s. The population, we were doing the right things. We had clamped down on timber harvest. We had clamped down on snowmobile use up into their area. We were protecting the, and we had brought a bunch back in. But the problem was Canada was not doing the right things. Canada was destroying the habitat all the way since the early 90s. It was clear that we were going to lose that habitat for those caribou. And then what happened was all kinds of different things happened. One is predators then started becoming a challenge for them, so that the ones that we had something like 46 in 2009 still, but largely wolves. Now, unlike the wolves that were brought back in here, the wolves were there all the time in British Columbia. They naturally reestablished themselves, and they were eating the caribou.
So when you say they're gone, I want to clarify this. I mean, are we talking extinct, or some exist and they were moved to a different location?
So there were, I believe, and I'm not sure my number right today, but it was about three. Two from Montana and one from the Selkirk that were moved to an area just north in British Columbia. And those were then going to be added to a population in British Columbia north of the border. And between that population and the Selkirks, there's no habitat, and there is no chance that habitat is going to come back anytime soon. So, you know, the folks in Idaho said they're extinct. The folks in British Columbia chose to say, well, we just see it as they're extirpated in the United States. So it's a wording issue here. And I think the issue here is not just this. If we really want to have caribou back in Idaho, it's going to take a collaborative effort. And when I say this, what I'm saying is that you're going to have the people who live there want to have caribou. And for the last 30 years, they didn't want caribou because caribou represented to them limitations, controls, and the kind of things that Andrea's group has successfully kept on this area, or the restrictions. If you were going to follow up with this, I think they'd need to, they being the environmental community, needs to reach out to, particularly right now, the snowmobile community, who actually on the ground is not a threat to the caribou, but the perception that they could become a threat makes all this a hard thing. And what we, if they're going to do this, the snowmobilers, for instance, have joined with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to study wolverine so that they could find out where the wolverines need it and where they can go. I think the same kind of thing, you know, could be done for caribou, and perhaps we can, this should be done across the border in British Columbia as well.
So Andrea, Rocky's painted a pretty dim picture here. Is there good news that's come out of this decision in this lawsuit?
Well, yeah, there is good news. And I think I agree with some of Rocky's points, but I think that it's important that this is not a distinction without significance because, you know, as Rocky mentioned, Canada wasn't protecting the habitat that caribou needed to survive. But what this law will now require is that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will now have to work with British Columbia leaders to craft a new recovery plan for caribou that will call for the protection of not just suitable habitat in the United States, but also habitat in British Columbia. So the hope is that with the additional protections of Canadian lands, caribou in the future can once again occupy lands in the lower 48 states. Mm-hmm. So overall, I think it is good news for woodland caribou. And one point I just want to respond to is, I agree that in northern Idaho and northeast Washington, the Forest Service and other land management agencies have done a little bit. Some of it has taken some prodding by lawsuits, but they have done taken some actions to protect those lands from logging and snowmobile use, which actually, you know, is a threat to caribou because it compacts snow, which makes it easier for predators to prey upon caribou. And also, you know, there's science showing that there's physiological effects and caribou move away from areas where snowmobiles, are on the landscape. So they have done some, but I don't think they've done enough. And what I'm hoping is that this new designation will require the Fish and Wildlife Service in the U.S. to go back, craft a new recovery plan that has stricter measures. Their recovery plan is from 1994, and they've admitted over the past decade that it's outdated and didn't do enough. So I think what this will do is require a new recovery plan, and that recovery plan will include input from British Columbia leaders that will hopefully protect land in Canada as well.
And Rocky, how would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, first, you know, you aren't having any physiological effects on animals that aren't there. So it's going, you're talking about things that the folks on the ground aren't going to like, buy, or believe. Those folks, you need them. If you're going to have caribou back, you're going to have people in North Idaho who want caribou back. And if you, and British Columbia for that matter. And right now, everything that is being done is not reaching out to these people. It's not saying where is it that we can have snowmobiling and where is it that caribou can't won't be able to tolerate it. We're not having those kind of discussions. That's the only, and I say this, the only way that we're going to turn this around.
And could there be a trickle-down effect? And what I mean by this, and both Andrea and Rocky, you could answer this, could this help other animals in the future by having a decision like this?
Well, I think...
Well, yeah, I think 100%. Whenever habitat is protected for one animal, it almost always protects that habitat for other species. So, for example, roads and logging have extremely negative impacts on grizzly bears, for example. So to minimize the use of lands, that includes removing the forest and constructing lands and habitat fragmentation, always protects other species as well.
And Rocky?
And that's grizzly bears clearly have benefited from the same kind of protections we've done up in North Idaho in the Priest Lake area. And that's why their numbers are growing. But they're still threatened up there. And so those road protections are going to continue, and as they should.
So when we look at caribou potentially coming back, any bets, Rocky, on when this could happen?
I actually think if we're going to see caribou come back in the United States, I think there's more of a chance it's going to happen over in Montana, where there still is some, though fragmented, contiguous wild habitat crossing the border. But it's still not great habitat, and it's going away in Canada until the Canadians decide to change the direction of their management. We haven't even talked about climate change.
Right, which is another issue.
Which also could contribute. So I'm not holding my breath.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this issue. We've been speaking with Rocky Barker, special correspondent to the Idaho Statesman, and Andrea Santisuri, a senior attorney with the Center for Biological Diversity, about the future of caribou here in Idaho. Thank you both so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, a local art exhibit highlights World Homeless Day. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.